middle of a shir on Tfilas Kelim, and we'll have to finish up the second part of the shir. So we did not get to a lot of the very important halachas of Tfilas Kelim. Really, the way we got into Tfilas Kelim was to really talk about Vishal Chmanas and whether one needs to be tovel the Kelim that they're going to be using Vishal Chmanas. We'll leave that out for tonight. And Ritz Hashem, we're just going to try to go through quickly and as coherently as possible all of Hilchas Purim. We're not going to get through everything. There's a lot of details. There's a lot of Mitzvah Sayoyim. There's a lot of things that need to be spoken about. We're not going to deal with Parsha Zachar, which is really this Shabbos, which comes before Purim. We're really going to begin with Tainus Esther, which this year is before Parsha Zachar. We'll get into Tainus Esther. I'm going to try to go through as much as we could of the sugyas with in a lot of time that we have. And Ritz Hashem, we'll see. Again, any shaylas we can try. I guess we'll try to leave the shaylas that are not relevant to try to be mevar exactly what I'm saying. We'll try to leave the shaylas to after just because we're going to try to get through, which I think is 12 pages here that I just wrote up today. So we're going to try to see how we can get through all 12 pages in the next, couple of minutes. So let's begin. Let's begin with Tainus Esther. The reason why we have there's a minig brought down in the Shabura, brought down in the Shulchan Aruch, that we fast on Erev Purim. This year we're not fasting on Erev Purim, we'll talk about it in a moment, but we fast on Erev Purim. The Mishabura brings down why, where is this makar for this Indian to fast on Erev Purim. The Mishabura says very simply that we know that in the days of Mordechai and Esther, the time that the Purim story happened, Klal Yisrael gathered together on Yud Gimel Adar in order to fight back and Laban al Mafsham. And Memela, what they needed to do prior to fighting the war was they needed to be Levakesh Rachman Tachnunim, that Hashem should help them. And we find Zaktim Shabura. Again, he's not saying this is not his own svar, the Rishayim already, that we find that on the day of the Mechama, they would actually fast, which is the opposite of what most of us would do if we're going out to war. We would try to eat, but they would fast on the day of the Mechama in order that there should be Matzlecha Mechama. And therefore, since Yud Gimel was the day that they actually fought the war, therefore, as is occurring for that Tainus, that they fasted on the day that they fought the war against the enemies, against Haman, Vabanov, and all the enemies that were trying to get up and kill them, that's why we fast on Tainus Esther. Contrary to popular belief, I think many think that Tainus Esther has to do with the fast that Esther fasted and Klal Yisrael fasted prior, Tzema Alai, that Klal Yisrael fasted prior to Esther Hamalka going into Achashverosh. That is not when this fast is. That fast did not take place on Purim. That fast took place when Esther Hamalka went in. That was Pesach time, not Purim time. And therefore, that Tainus Esther is just because of the fact that they fasted on the day that they actually went out to war. Nothing to do with the Tainus that Esther Hamalka fasted. That's the way the Mishabur brings down. And therefore, every year we fast as a remembering that the Rabbanu Shel Olam saved them then. And the Lashon Mishabura is, Ulchen Nagu Kol Yisrael L'Sanis B'Yud Gamal Va'adr. But Nikra Tainus Esther Kedei Liskar Sheshem Yisbaruch Roya V'Shemea Kol Ish V'Eis Tzarkoi Kasher Yis'ana V'Yoshev El Hashem. To remind us of the Yeshua that Esther Amalek and all of Klal Yisrael had at that time, that because of the fact they fasted, they did tshuva, they were zeichet to this tremendous Yeshua, and therefore we do it also so that we should also be zeichet to the Yeshuas that we need in our days as well. The Pesuk Tshuva brings down from the Kava Yasher, who says that the Maggid told the Beis Yosef, the Maggid told the Beis Yosef used to have a Maggid that came and learned with him from Shemayim, and he told him that the reason why we have this Tainus is a very interesting reason, is because since Purim is the day after, and a Purim, it's very likely that because of the tremendous amount of eating and drinking, that a person is going to end up falling to do things that he doesn't want to do. Therefore, we have a day of tefillah prior to Purim in order to make sure that our mispala of the Purim goes well. It's a beautiful just kavana to be able to have this Thursday. And every time it says that redavani pasha, the Purim should go well. It's a day which can be a lot of hayolus, it's a scary day, especially if a person's getting shikar, and even if a person's not getting shikar, there's a lot of lachetz that goes on in the day, a lot of potential for kas, a lot of potential for pirud between friends, between mishpachas. And therefore, it's a day, Tainus Esther, Zakte Kala Yasher, B'Shem the Magid, B'Shem who told the Beis Yosef that it's a day for a person to be able to daven, that the kayach shouldn't have the kayach to be makatrig, and everything should go well on Purim. A third reason brought down, also in the Pesuk Tshuva, is sober down from the Shev Mekasi, he says that the Gzeris of Haman was never fully in his battle. That although we were Zeichat to Yeshua at that time, the Gzer of Haman was not fully in his battle, and it's still around that there's some aspect of the pranius of Haman, similar to what Chazal say when they talk about the Chet Egel, that we didn't really fully get absolved of the Chet, and every pranius has some aspect of the Chet Egel. Zok to Sheva Kasi, there's some aspect of the pranius of that Gezera. There was a reason for the Gezera, like the Gemara Megillah tells us, there was a reason why there was a Gezera against Klal Yisrael, and therefore there's some aspect of the pranius that still remains. They bring down that the Gezera of Tach Fatat was a Teitza of the Gezera of Haman. That's why there's so many Yidden that were killed. It was Gezera of Tach Fatat. They bring down the remes to this, that in the Megillah, if you look in the Megillah, there's two large letters, a large Taf and a large Ches, which is Gezeres Tach. That's where the Gezeres Tach Vatat started, and therefore they say it's a remes, but that every generation, every perennius comes from that, and Befrat this year, when we're dealing with an actual perennius, an actual Mechama, of, you know, so to speak, some aspect of a malik against us, it's a time that a person davens, and Klal Yisrael davens, that we should be zeicha to be saved from the pranius of Haman. Those are the three main reasons. Again, the main reason is the reason Mishnah Berurah brings down, that Klal Yisrael gathered together to fast on the day that they went out to war. But again, there's other reasons as well why we do it. The Kaveh Yashar just brings down a beautiful lashon. It's important to know for Tainus Esther, it's not just a day. It's very different than every other Tainus. We'll talk about Halacha, it's different as well. But it's much more, it's not a day of fasting over something sad that happened. It's much more a day of tefillah than a day of mourning. And therefore, we'll see that the Halacha has changed as well. But also in what the focus of a person is on that day, Zak the lashon, the Kaveh Yashar, Kol Mi Shetzarech Rachman. Anybody who needs anything good, Sai Mitzada Prat and Sai Mitzada Klal, Al Ezidavar Yikach Panay La Atzmai, should take some time on that day, and it's much easier this time when it's not Erev Purim. It's a few days before Purim, it's Thursday. But Yoyim Atainis Esther, Yoyim Atchila Mizmar Chav Beis. First, you should say Mizmar Chav Beis, Lam Netzech Al Yolos HaShachar, which is what Esther Malka was the one that created that Mizmar. The Achakach Yishbuk Sichel of Ne Hashem, the Yisker Schus Morcheva Esther, which is part of what we say in the Slichas that we say, Asher Beschusim Yatar Lo Hashem HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Yiftach Lo Yisharu Rachme, the Kablu Tfilas HaBaratzen. Zok Tekavi Yashar, it's a day of tefillah, and a person should utilize it properly. It's not just a day of sadness, it's not mourning, there's nothing sad that happened, rather it's a day of davening, and any person that needs any Yeshua should utilize the Kayach of the day, the Kayach of Tainas Esther, through Bakasha, through tefillah, through Slicha, specifically this Mizmah Chavez, to utilize that day as a day of tefillah. That's all Agabi, the reason why we have Tainus Esther. The Machaber writes down that if Purim comes out on Sunday, as it does this year, Remachtim, and we make Tainus Esther, we make the Tainus, obviously we can't have a Tainus in Shabbos. However, we don't just make it on Friday, rather we make it on Thursday. Zakhtim Mishabur, why don't we have it on Friday? Friday is also a good day to have a Tainus. We do have Tainus on Friday. We just had it recently. Zakhtim Mishabur, the reason why we do is we try to not be Kaveah, a Tainus Lechet Chila on Shabbos, for the very simple reason that if you have a Tainus, that means that what comes along with the Tainus is Slichas. Slichas take a long amount of time, and that becomes a tircha for people to be stuck in shul for a longer amount of time in Erev Shabbos than they would in a regular Erev Shabbos, and it's hard for them to be able to prepare for Shabbos. And therefore, the Mishabur says, Lechatchila, we don't make the Tainus on Shabbos. Mishabur brings down something very fascinating, that a person didn't realize that the Tainus was on Thursday. Somebody was traveling and just didn't realize that the Tainus was on Thursday. He thought that the Tainus is maybe Friday, and he ate the whole Thursday. And then he comes into town on Thursday night, and he finds out that, by the way, you should just know if it was a Tainus today. He said, what do you mean there's a Tainus today? It's not Tainus Esther. He said, yeah, today was Tainus Esther. Zakt Mishabur, he has to fast on Friday. Why? Because there's nothing inherently wrong with fasting on Friday. We just are not conveyed as a tzibur for a tzibur to fast. But if a person ate the whole Thursday, and did not realize that it was a fast day, Zakhtim Mishabura, a person should fast on Friday. Not only that, the Mishabura brings down that different than every other Tainus, if on a random Tainus, a Tainus of Tzayim Gedalia, a person eats a little bit on the Tainus, so a person continues to fast. You ate a little bit, you made a mistake, you ate something, you continue to fast. Zakhtim Mishabura, if on Thursday you would forget and you would eat a little bit, so what you should do is you have to be mashal in the Tainus the next day. You shouldn't continue eating, because that's Parish Menet Tzibur. But nevertheless, Zakhtim Mishabura, you broke your Tainus, and since it's not the Iker day of the Tainus is really on Shabbos, we just moved it back to Thursday, Zakhtim Mishabura, you would have to fast the whole Friday. And the Minig seems not to be like that, but that's where the Mishabura Paskins said, if you ate by mistake on Thursday, by mistake even a little bit, you'd have to fast the whole Friday also, which means Thursday you're fasting. On Thursday night, you break your fast, like everybody else does, and you fast again the whole Friday. Otherwise, the minig seems not to be like that. Rechem Kanevsky writes, the minig is not like that. But that's when there's Ruach Paschim. Again, because of the reason that it's not inherently on Thursday, it's just on Thursday, Alsis Tircha de Tzibura, that we want to make sure that it's not going to be on Friday. And that's what the minig of what we do this year is we fast on Thursday. The Ramah brings out that since this Tainus is not a chayva, since it's not an obligation, rather it's a minig, therefore there's much more makim to be makel for somebody who's mitzar, somebody who's a chayla, definitely somebody who's nursing, somebody who's fasting, even if on another Tainus a woman would be makbet, it's not her minig to be as maybe makel when she's fasting, when she's nursing, definitely when it comes to Tainus Esther, the Ramah brings down that one could be makel to not fast on the Tainus, but it has to be, again, you have to talk to a Rav, especially if a person's a chayla, to make sure that it's real, it's something, it's a real chayla, but definitely a person who's fasting, a person who's nursing, a person who has, you know, has some sort of illness or something like that, definitely is much more of a makam to make on Tainus Esther more than any other Tainus. And although the Ramah brings down that a person would have to be mashlim the Tainus and fill it up afterwards, because again, the Tainus of Tainus Esther is not limited to a specific day. It's really just a zecher to the Tainus that took place then. However, the minig seems also not to be like that. That the minig is that we do not actually, we're not parea the Tainus afterwards. And therefore, if a person's sick, a person's pregnant, a person's nursing, one would not have to fast. Now, when it comes to other Tainus, the Mishabur brings down that a Baal Nefesh should be machmer, not to take a shower, and not, there are many places, many achronim bring down, the Mishabur doesn't bring this down, not to listen to music as well, maybe taking a haircut also is inappropriate, because since the other Tainusim have to do with mourning, therefore it's inappropriate to take a shower to enjoy oneself, even though it's not part of the Iker Tainus, the Iker Tainus is just not to eat and drink. Nevertheless, the Mishabur brings down that a regular Tainus, the Baal Nefesh should be machmer, not to take a shower ever. When it comes to Tainus Esther, the Mishabur brings down that there is no problem, I'm sorry, not the Mishabur, they take a feel, and other places can bring down as well, that it's not a problem for a person to take a shower, it's not a problem to listen listen to music. It's not a problem to take a haircut. Because again, the point of the tainus is not something which is sad. Rather, it's just in commemoration of the tefillah that they did then. So the day of tefillah is not a stira b'chlal to taking a shower, haircut, music. All of those things would be mutter to do on tainus Esther. Now, just to speak out, there is another tainus that the Shulchan Aruch brings down, which is connected to the tainus Esther that many people mistakenly think that this tainus Esther is. Machaber brings down that there are those that had the minig to fast Monday, Thursday, and Monday after Purim. As a zecher to the 3 days that they fasted. Klal Yisrael fasted for 3 days before Esther Malka went into Achashverosh. So people fast for 3 days. They don't fast 3 days straight, but they fasted after Purim because that's Be'erach the time. It's not Mamash the time. They fasted Mamash Pesach time, like the Gemara Megillah says. But there are those that have the minig to do it. Again, it's not our minig, but just that's where the Tainus Esther that people think this Tainus Esther comes from. That's where there is a minig. There's a minig of fasting Bahab after Purim. That's that minig. But our minig again is not because of that. It's rather because of the minig, the tefillah that they had as they went out to Muhammad. That is halachas of Tainus Esther. Now the next halacha, which also comes up on Tainus Esther, is the halacha of Machsa Shekel. It's brought in the Ramah. Tafrei Sadidala. The Ramah brings down Yesh Aimrim Sheyesh Litan Kaidem Purim Machsas Mina Matbeya Hakavua Ba'Isem Makam. Take a half a dollar or a half of whatever is kavua in that place, whatever you call a half in that area, half a shekel, half a dollar, whatever it is. Take a matbeya. Ba'Isem Man Zecher. What's it a zecher for? La Machsas Hashekel Shein Esuna Ba'Adar. For the Machsas Hashekel that was given in Chodesh Adar. Like the Mishnah says, in Shkolim be'echad ba'adam hashmina la'shkolim, and therefore you go ahead and you give in as a machsas shekel. Zakta Ramah me'achar, since it says in the Torah three times the word truma when it talks about machsas shekel, zakta mishabura, zakta Ramah, you should give three machsas shekels and not one machsas shekel. Now the Kaf HaChaim and many other achrayim ask in the Ramah, the Ramah saying doesn't really seem to make a lot of sense, because if you look at what it's talking about when it talks about truma in the pasuk three times. We just read in Parsha Kisis, it talks about it three times. Over there, one of the trumas has to do with the Machsas Shekel. The other two trumas have to do with general donations that were given towards the building of the Mishkan. There's no zecher to that happened every year. It was only a one-time thing. And besides, it wasn't a Machsas Shekel. It was every person gave Nediv Liboy. Every person gave based on what they were capable of giving, based on what they wanted to give. There's only one Machsas Shekel that was given every year. There's no three Machsas Shekels. And therefore, there are those that say that the Minigas Tataka only give one Machsas Shekel and not three Machsas Shekel. However, if you look in the Darkei Moshe, which the Darkei Moshe was a sefer written by the Ramah on the Torah, and then eventually he took the sukkah in front of the Darkei Moshe and wrote the Ramah. The Darkei Moshe writes his lashon over there is different than he writes in the Ramah. Over there he writes that it says Machsas Shekel. It mentions the concept of Machsas Shekel three times in the Torah, and that's why he should do it. Not because they gave three donations, rather it just says Machsas Shekel three times. So some Indian, again, it's not so clear exactly what this Indian is. Some Indian to dafka give three, and that's the minig in all of Klal Yisrael. They don't just give one; we give three. We give three Machsas Shekels. We take them up. We put in the thing. You give three half a dollar. That's the Machsas Shekel we give. And again, it doesn't have to be specific a shekel. It could be any matbeya of the things he used. I just saw they just put out a sefer this year from Shlomo Miller. He said that in Canada, what do they call the half a dollars in Canada?
Loonies and toonies.
Right? They don't call them halves. Right? So I don't know which one's a loonie, which one's a toonie.
It's a dollar.
Yeah. So what's what do they call it? What's no?
Half a dollar.
There's nothing. It's 50 cents. There's nothing a 50 pence thing.
Canadians.
I don't know. That's they brought out a sefer. I assume that it was something. Or maybe he meant that they don't use the American dollar. I don't know. I'm not sure exactly what he meant. I thought that there was half a dollar in Canada. A loonie and toonie, none of those are half a dollar?
Loonie's a dollar, toonie's $2.
Oh, okay. So then I guess not. So I guess I misunderstood what he said. I thought I haven't been to Canada in a long time.
Did he say that
what? No, that you can't give it because they don't call it a half over there. But I guess there's nothing 50 cents there?
Maybe
a dollar
and a half. Maybe a dollar's half or two. No. I don't know. He was talking about something else. No, but he said there's 50 cents. Okay, fine. That's Lagabe, what a person gives. There are those that are makbet to give dafka silver. There are those that are makbet to try to figure out exactly which Machsas Shekel, the half a dollars that were put out many years ago, I think. I don't remember the exact years that were put out. Earlier ones had more silver in them. Now they have very, very little silver in them. They're called a half a dollar, half a silver dollar, but there's very, very little silver in them. There are those that are makbet dafka to give silver. But the Ramosha writes in Mesaris Moshe and others write as well that there's no chiv dafka to give silver. And you find that even Bimei Chazal, they didn't always give silver. They gave sometimes silver, sometimes gold. It depended. It fluctuated. First base of Mekdash, second base of Mekdash, Mishnah Shkol was Mavur, that it wasn't always silver. And therefore the Pesukim say it doesn't have to be specifically silver. It just has to be that which is normally used as a half in that place. If a person does not have a half a dollar, a person is in a place where he doesn't have a half a dollar, he can give the equivalent of a half a dollar. However, the Pesukim say it's still better to give it in coins rather than in dollars, because coins have real more intrinsic value than dollars. Dollars are banknotes which just are connected something, and it's a shalav. It's called shalav kesef. It's pasha. It's not called shalav kesef. It might only be a shtar kesef. Shalav comes up also when it comes to pidna ben, giving the amount of money of 5 coins. You're giving actual 5 coins. Banknotes don't really have any real value. Right? A banknote, a $20 bill doesn't have any real value. It's just, you know, based on the amount of money that officially is in Fort Knox, That's what it's correlated against, which means it's just basically like a shtar chayv. It's a document that says that this is worth $20. It's not actually worth $20. Plus, when you have coins, coins have some intrinsic value, and therefore, a chatchila person, even if he doesn't have half a dollar, he only has 50 cents, he only has quarters, he should take two quarters and put them together, whatever it is, in order to be able to create that amount of three half a dollars together. But he does not need to. But he does not need to be specific half a dollars if he doesn't have. Although the chatchila, again, like the Rama says, that what one should give is half a dollar. Now, when exactly do you give the maksa shekel? So the different minhaga. The Rama brings down they should give it on Lel Purim before you daven mincha. Again, the reason why we're giving it right before Purim is because of the Gemara Megillah says that hiktim shkaleim the shkalov, that we board our shkalim before Haman board his shkalim, and therefore we want to do it prior to Purim. The Rama brings down from the Maril, which is the Gedolei Achreinim that the Rama comes gets many of his minhagim from the early Achreinim. The Rama brings down that the minhag is to give it prior to davening mincha. The Magen Avraham brings that some have the minhag to give it in the morning before reading Megillah, because since that's the Iker Kriyas Megillah is the one by day, even though you have to do it twice, but the Iker one is by day, therefore want to do it before the main time in Megillah. But there are those that either give it before Mincha, and I think that's the general accepted minhag is on Mincha and Tainus Esther, and there are those that give it on Purim morning. Now, if a person, now this year when Tainus Esther comes on Thursday, so the minhag is that we give it on Thursday also prior to Mincha, there are those that are makbed to give it both on Tainus Esther and again on Purim itself. The Divrei Chaim said, the Divrei Chaim won't like that, and the Shav Chaim, who's his anical, says like that as well. But I think the general minhag is just to give it on Thursday, and that's the time to give it. If a person forgot to give it, so even if it's past Purim already, you're still capable of giving it, because it's a Zeichel Maksa Shekel. Maksa Shekel is able to be given the whole Chedesh Adar. So as long as it's prior to Rosh Chedesh Nisan, a person can still give the Maksa Shekel. It happens often that people forget. A week or two later, you forgot, or if Purim was busy, it's hectic, and you remembered a week later, so just go to the Pushka, get a half, if you have a half a dollar, it's the best. Get half a dollar, take three half a dollars, lift them up, give the money, and then a person would be yotze his zecher of maksa shekel. Now, what age does a person give maksa shekel from? How old does a person have to be? So Rama writes that a person gives it miben esrim ulamala, from 20 and up. Mishabur brings down the das taisis yontif is already from the age of 13 and up, a person gives it. Now, the Al Yerava brings down that this is the din, this is the halacha, either 13 or 20. However, Zakta Al Yerava, there are those that have the minig to give it even for little children. And this minig is brought in the Levush as well, and in the Darke Moshe, this minig to give for little children as well. However, the Magen Avraham writes, I never heard of this minig, I don't know where this minig comes from. The Magen Avraham knocks out the minig. The Orcha Shulchan says also that Nashim and Ketanim don't have to give either. However, there are those that have the minig, and the Paiskim say that if one has the minig and one has already given for a child, which again, it's not a large amount of money, it's a simple thing to do, and definitely if that's your minig, you should continue it. The Bais can say that if you already started doing it, then you should definitely continue it. It's some sort of, you know, Kabbalah, and it's kilu, a person, you know, has done something three times, and mimela, once a person started doing that minig, a person should continue the minig when it comes to ketanim. So again, it's not a chiv to give for ketanim. However, many do have the minig to do it. And again, if that has been your minig, one should definitely continue the minig, and it's not a large amount of money. When it comes to woman's very different, because the Rama paskins very clearly in Hilchos Shkolim that everybody's chayv to give a maksa shekel b'shasta beis hamikdash, ke'anim, levim, israelim, gerim, ravadim, shacharim. Everybody's to give except for nashim. Nashim and ketanim do not have to give. And there's two reasons born in the paskim why women did not have to give maksa shekel then, and therefore if they didn't have to give the original one, then obviously they're not going to be chayv in the zeichel maksa shekel, either because the misaseish is mangrama, it's during chodesh Adar, it's the echav adam hashmina l'shkolim, it has to be given before chodesh Nisan, therefore it's called the misaseish mangrama. The Rush brings down that the lashon of the pasuk when it talks about giving maksa shekel says ish kaifer nafshei. Since it says ish, we learn out from there ish for isha, and only a man is mechayiv, and therefore men are mechayiv and not a woman. There are those that have a minig to give for a woman as well. It's much more of a shvach. A minig is much less of a makar to give for a woman than to give for children. For children, it's a real minig. Brought in the Darka Maisha, brought in the Lavush, brought in many paiskim. However, when it comes to giving for a woman, that's a much more of a shvach minig, and therefore, even if a person has already been giving for his wife, pashas the paiskim say a person is not to continue doing it because that has a minig which doesn't have any real basis for it, and therefore, again, if you want to give, you can give it, but lachar, there's no real makar for the minig to give for a woman, and even if one has been giving, one can stop. When it comes to the maksa shekel, one cannot give the maksa shekel from maisa money, because anything that's an obligation, anything that's a chiev, one needs to give from his own money and not from maisa money. Maisa money can never be used for a chiev. The same thing we'll say with matanas levyonim as well. Matanas levyonim can't be given from maksa shekel, from meiser money. The actual chiev, anything above the chiev, could be given from maksa shekel. So for example, a person says, my minig is not to give for my kids, but I want to be mahadar and I want to give for my children as well. That money, which is just a hider, it's not the actual mitzvah, that could be done from meiser money. But anything that's the ikr chiev, anything that's an obligation, any mitzvah that's an obligation, person cannot be yotze, and therefore it has to be done with his own money, and not Maaser Banei. Now, where exactly does the money for Maaser Shekel go? Right, it's a little confusing. They put this thing out, and the money for the Maaser Shekel, remember, I think it was a discussion last year after Purim. Whose money is it? Is it the shul's money? Is it Dafka Faniyim? Is it Askut Matanas of Yoinim? The Aruch HaShulchan Paskin is very clear that it could go to wherever you want. Go to any Maaser, any place, not any Eretz Yisrael. It doesn't have to be a Niyim. It could go to any place. Any Maaser, any shul, any yeshiva. Huh?
To build a building.
Go to whatever you want. It doesn't have to be that. That's the original. If you learned that Chumah was the three Chumahs, one of those three Chumahs is to build a Mishkan. Yeah, but it can go to any Maaser, anything. It doesn't have to be specifically. It doesn't have to be specific. It doesn't have to be specifically for Aniyim. And Vaharai, the original Maaser Shekel, the reason why they collected it, the Aruch HaShulchan writes, they collected it for Kabbanos. The whole thing we're doing is a Zecher for the money that they collected for Kabbanos. So there's no reason why Aniyim should get that any more than anybody else. It's a Zecher for the money collected for Kabbanos. We don't have Kabbanos. It's a Zecher for that. Therefore, the money can be used for Tzedakah. It can be used for anything. If it was given out on Purim, then you can be Yotze, you could be Yotze, Matanos of Yonim with that as well. But again, there is no Chiyuv Dafka to give it to an Ani. That is the Halacha of Maaser Shekel. Clear? Any questions so far? Okay, and keep moving. That is the halacha of Sofer Tainis Esther, along with Maaser Shekel. Now we're going to get into the actual mitzvah sayyim of Purim. The first mitzvah sayyim that we have is obviously Mikra Megillah. Now, generally, when it comes to a mitzvah, and the same thing applies by Mikra Megillah as well, a person cannot eat or drink. A person cannot eat, sit down for a real suda, which either means a person is eating pas, or a person is eating even a kebetza of pas of Abakisnan. Prior to hearing Megillah, it's not sonegeh this year because we're beginning to lay Megillah on Matzah Shabbos. Therefore, it's not a halacha that we'll talk about now. It's a shalom about sleeping, a shalom about learning. Those are all shalos which are not negeh this year because we're going straight from Shal Shudas, straight into Mikra Megillah with a little bit of a break. And therefore, it's not a shalom which negeh this year. Obviously, when you're eating Shal Shudas, you could eat, could be kaveh suda before Mikra Megillah. But anyways, we're already starting behind, because you're starting more than a half hour before the zman that you could begin Mikra Megillah, at least, you know, again, depending on when you start Shal Shudas. But either way, it's not a gap because we're being Shalosh Sudas of Adah person is able to be Kaveh. Excuse me, is able to be Kaveh Suda. Now, when it comes to the actual Mikra Megillah itself, the Machaber Paskins, that prior to Mikra Megillah, a person makes three brachas: Al Mikra Megillah, She'asa Nisim, and Shechiyanu. And by day, you're not chayzer, you don't say the bracha of Shechiyanu again. That's where the Machaber Paskins make three brachas: Mikra Megillah, She'asa Nisim, and Shechiyanu. The Mishbura speaks out, and it's important to know, we'll probably announce this in Shul, but it's important to know that when you make the bracha of Shechiyanu, you should have in mind the Chayves Hayyim as well, which includes Mishalach Manas and the Suda of Purim. Some say Matanas of Yonim as well, although Mishbura does not say it. And a person should have in mind that he wants to be mechavan with the bracha of Shechiyanu for the chayves hayyim as well. And the shliach tzibur, who is the main one that's making the bracha, should have that kavanah when he's making the bracha, which means the Kari Megillah. And those that are hearing it, who are being yotze with the bracha of the shliach tzibur, they're not going to make a Shechiyanu on the mitzvah sayyim, should have in mind that they're being mechavan to be yotze with his brachas, and specifically the bracha of Shechiyanu, that they're being yotze the mitzvah sayyim as well. If a person comes late to shul and a person missed the actual brachas, so you can make the brachas by yourself. There's no chiv that you have to hear the brachas from somebody else. Obviously, you can make the brachas by yourself. However, you have to make the brachas very quickly in order to be able to catch up to the person later in the Megillah. We'll speak about it in a minute, but when a person is listening to Kriyas and Megillah, a person has to hear every single word from the Balkar who's reading the Megillah. If you missed even one word, a person would not be Yaitse. However, you can be Yaitse by reading it out of a Chumash, b'diavad, reading it out of a Chumash, or reading out of a Chumash, and even reading it Balpeh. And therefore, if a person comes in 5 minutes late into Mikra Megillah, and they're, I don't know, 5-6 psukim in, 10-15 psukim in, what a person should do, if they think that they're going to be able to catch up to where the Balkaira is, the best thing is to say the brachas right then. Say the brachas quietly to yourself, but you know, make sure that you're saying the actual brachas, not just thinking them in your head. Say the brachas, and then begin laying the Megillah by yourself. You don't have to do it exactly trappy. You have to lay the words properly. Lay the Megillah until you catch up to the Balkaira, and then continue listening to the rest of the Kriya from the Balkaira. If you came late enough
And
if you came late enough that you realize that maybe you can catch up at the Balkaira, but there's no way you can be able to make the brachas and catch up with the Balkaira, and that in that scenario, just catch up to the Balkaira, and then when they make the first gap in the Kriya, for example, when they say Ish Yehudi Hayi B'Shushan Abira, and everybody starts to say that at that gap right there, then make the brachas then. Now, L'chatchila Shkach. L'chatchila, you should be saying the brachas prior to beginning the whole Megillah, but if you messed up and a person came in late and he knows he's not going to be able to catch up, so then you can catch up to the Balkaira and make the brachas even when they stop and they say Ish Yehudi, or by the first Haman, when there's some rash, when there's some gap in the Kriya, then a person would be able to say it then. Just to continue the halachas of the brachas itself, After we finish, we make the bracha of Berachas Haravos Rivenu, and it's important to know that Maril writes down that a person should roll up the Megillah, and that's why there's always a gap in shul. Everybody's waiting. They finish Kriyas Megillah, and then they wait, and the Baal Kaira then wraps up as it's spread out like an Igaris, which is another halacha. It's not Negev for us because we're not the Baal Kaira. It's spread out like an Igaris, and then he rolls up the whole Megillah prior to making the bracha. Why does he do that? Why does he just make the bracha? Everybody's waiting. The whole shul is waiting while he's sitting there and trying to figure out how to roll it up again. The Maril writes that it's a Gnai. It's not considered to be covered for the Megillah to leave it open like that, to leave it totally open when you make the bracha. And therefore, the Maril writes that the proper thing to do is to roll it back up. They even bring down that there was a story in the Maril's Beis Medrash where the guy started saying the bracha, the Baal Kaira started saying the bracha prior to reading it, and he stopped him. And the Poskim say that as long as he hasn't said the Baruch Ata Hashem, as long as he hasn't said Hashem's name, even if he began the bracha by saying Baruch Ata, you stop the guy, and you stop the Baal Kaira, you say, wait, roll up the whole Megillah, and then you start the bracha again. That's like the bracha which comes afterwards. Then after we make that bracha of Aravas Yuvenu, we normally sing Shoshanas Yaakov. It's not a nice thing to sing Shoshanas Yaakov. It's a halacha brought in Shulchan Aruch. The halacha is brought in a mafurish in the Mechaber that a person needs to say, the Mechaber writes in Tafar Yitzadi Sifta Zayin, Tzorach Shegayim, a person has to say, Arahaman Baruch Mordechai, Arur Zeresh, Brucha Esther, Arur Kol Rasham, Bruchim Kol HaTzadikim. Zosh Shet the Mechaber. He writes, Arum Kol HaGoyim, Bruchim Kol Yisrael. Our minig is that we say, Arum Kol Rasham, Bruchim Kol HaTzadikim, and a person has to say, so it's important to know that after the Megillah, when everybody's singing it, you have to say the words. You have to either say the words or sing the words. And this is not only when a person hears a betzibur. If a person is laying it by yachid, or if a person's laying it for his wife should say, after she hears Megillah, she should say, Shoshanas Yaakov and it's a chiyav. Again, brought on the mechaber, but a person has to say this. It's lav dafka that this chiyav maybe has to be connected dafka to Megillah. Really can say it at any point, but it's mavur in the paiskim that this should be coming right after Kriyas Megillah. And therefore, if you're laying for a woman, you're laying by yourself, or you're in shul, make sure you don't just stand there while everybody's saying Shoshanas Yaakov. Make sure you at least say it. You don't have to sing it if you don't want to sing it, but you should definitely say the pizman of Shoshanas Yaakov, Tzolav HaSamech. Now, when it comes to actually listening to Kriyas Megillah, so as we mentioned, the person has to have in mind to be yaitzeh with the brachas of the Baal Kaira, is making on the Mikra Megillah, and a person has to make sure that he's listening to every single word. It's a very difficult thing to do if you don't pay attention. This year, it's a little bit easier because we're not coming straight off of Tainus, we're not fasting, so we just ate Shal Shudas. It's a little bit easier to be able to have the Yeshiva Das, to be able to sit and to listen. But it's important that a person follows along with every single word in the Megillah. If a person misses out even one word, then a person is not Yaitzeh's mitzvah and have to hear the whole thing again. Even if a person is Mesupik, normally we say by regular mitzvah Darabanan, Safik Darabanan Lahakal. However, this is not a regular mitzvah Darabanan. It's what's called a higher level. It's called Divrei Kabbalah, which is higher than a regular Darabanan. And therefore, many Paiskim say that a person is not sure whether he heard all the words or not, he would have to hear it again. And we don't say Safik Darabanan Lakula, and a person would have to hear the Mikra Megillah again. And therefore, it's very important. You have a Chumash in front of you, or you have a Kasher Megillah, and we'll talk about the difference between those two in a second. If you have something in front of you, you follow along, pointing along. The Paiskim speak out that a person has a Chumash in front of him. It's important that he doesn't lean out loud along with the Baal Kaira. Which means that a regular Shabbos, are those that have the minute to do it. When it comes to Mikra Megillah, you dafka shouldn't, for two very simple reasons. First of all, the guy standing next to you may hear you and not the Baal Kaira, and he can't be yaitzeh with you reading from a chumash, and you may think that you're going to end up being yaitzeh with your kriya as opposed to the kriya of the Baal Kaira, and you're not yaitzeh if you read it from a chumash. Therefore, a person has a chumash or not kasher megillah in front of them, they shouldn't read. They should follow along word by word and just listen. However, if a person has a kasher megillah in front of him, in that case, the best thing to do would be to actually read along with the Baal Kaira. However, you have to read along loud enough that you can actually hear yourself. Shemela aznai. It has to be loud enough that you're not disturbing other people. So it's a little bit of a difficult thing to do. Similar to the halacha we have a shemana esrei, it has to be shemela aznai, but nobody else should be able to hear you. However, if you have a kasher megillah in front of you, that's the best thing to do. Because if you're reading along, first of all, you're ensuring that you actually are following along because you're saying every word. And that way, also, if you miss a word, so then you read it in the most lechatchila way, you read it from a kasher megillah. However, as we mentioned, if a person has a chumash in front of them and they miss a pasuk or two psukim, they miss something, they miss haman, that when everybody was binging, they didn't hear the Baal Kaira go hear him repeat the word ham again, they can read that. Even Baal Peh, they can read it from a Chumash, because up until half, you're allowed to read it Baal Peh. Therefore, that's the easiest way. So a person misses a Pasuk right away. You can't catch up later, which means Hakar Megillah Mafreya LaYatza. So you can't catch up later. Right away, at the point that you miss a Pasuk, so right away say that Pasuk, and then catch up to the Baal Kaira and continue listening to the Baal Kaira, and that way a person will be yaitzeh. A person spoke by mistake in the middle of Kriyas Megillah. It happens often. I shouldn't say it happens often. It happens occasionally, especially when a person has kids. If a mistake, they say something to their kid, and then they realize they spoke in the middle of Mikra Megillah. So he's still yaitzeh. If he heard everything the Baal Kaira was saying as he was talking to his kid, a little bit difficult to do, then he'd be yaitzeh 100%. And the fact that he spoke would not be... would not be considered to be an issue of the fact that he spoke. If he missed it, then the halacha applies, the same halacha that we just said a minute ago. If he missed a word or a pasuk because of the fact that he was talking to his kids, he'll let him catch up on the pasuk that he missed, and then continue to go ahead with the kriya of the Malkaira. That's all agabe the halacha of the person that's standing there and listening. Another halacha the Rama brings down that the person standing is the halacha of banging by Haman. It's a real halacha. It's not just a minig. It's a minig which is brought in the Rama. The Rama brings down the nagua tinaikis, that the children used to create a tzur of Haman, al eitzim avanim, on wood and stick. They used to make like these, pictures of Haman, or to write the name of Haman on it, and they would bang them on each other in order to wipe out the name of Haman, which means they would write the name of Haman or make a picture, then smash that in order to really wipe out the face of Haman or the name of Haman. They would do it as al derech timcha macha timcha zecher amalek v'shem v'sham yirkav, to wipe out the name of Hashem, to wipe out specifically amalek. When we zeh zakter Haman shtarvav aminig shemakim Haman kashikar mevigil bebeisik nesa zakter Haman b'shem davud jerham. This is where the minig comes from, to bang by Haman. Zakter Haman ve'ein levatol shem minig. You shouldn't be mavatal minig or laugh at it. Kiloy lechinam akokvu. It wasn't stam as to rekaveh this minig. It's a minig in Klal Yisrael that has real value to the minig. Now the Mashabur brings down, it is important that the Balkaira is quiet when everybody's banging so that we don't miss any words. It's important that things don't get out of hand, and things have to be kept at bay so that it doesn't become too much of a billboard that people end up missing out words, because then it's, Yassas Charmav say that when if you miss out the actual Kriyas Megillah. But it is important to know that there is a makar for this minig, and the Ramah says a person shouldn't laugh at this minig or be mavat to the minig. However, the Kaf HaChaim does bring down that could be yotze this minig by only clapping once by the first one and once by the last one. I think that's where this minig comes from, that some shuls just clap by the first and clap by the last. He says, V'kasav ani, the Hargis Birgolim B'Shem Haman Arishan, which is Acher Dvar Mehele Higdal Melcha Cheshver, which is Haman Ben Amdasa. And by the last one, where it says, the pasuk says, "Ki Haman Adasa Agagi Tzerukal Yehudim," to do by the first one and last one, he says, then that way you could be yaitse this minig of the Ramah, lav davka d'yafka bing by everyone. The point is that you're wiping out Haman's name, and that's where the minig comes from. He says also people had, they wrote on the bottom of the feet, on the bottom of the shoe, and they would stamp their feet. They would do that as well. It's also just interesting. I saw Shmuel Kamenetsky writes in Kavis Halachas that this minig that the Ramah brings down is not a minig on every yachid of a yachid, which means I don't have to make sure that I bang by every single Haman. Point is that the Olam should be banging by every Haman. So I don't have to be medactic that every Haman I actually bang. So if I miss a Haman and I bang, that's not an issue. That's not a lack of the minig of the Ramah. The point is that just that there should be some aspect of banging during Kriyas Megillah when they say Haman again, either by the first or last, or the way the minig of most Kala Yisrael is to do it by every single time that they mention the name of Haman. There are those that even say that when they say Zeresh and the children, but that we don't do. We only do it when they say Haman. That is the Lagavi the Alachas of Mirka Megillah. Any questions on that?
So if you're spacing out when you hear every word,
you have to. It's not so posh. You have to really be following along, because if you space out, it's very difficult to say that you space out and heard the words. If you're following along in a chumash, and you're following finger by finger, with your fingers on the place, so then it's much more likely they actually heard of the words, even if you were somewhat spacing out. But it's very difficult. You have to really focus. It's a difficult thing to do. Again, it takes a half hour, 40 minutes, however long it takes. We have to really make sure that you're focusing to hear every single word, much more than by Kriyas HaTorah, much more, again, not this Shabbos, it's real Daraisa, much more than a regular Kriyas HaTorah, regular Kriyas Megillah, for sure, Echa or Esther, Echa, Shir Shirim, other things, by Kriyas Megillah's Esther, person has to make sure that they really follow along and really hear every word. That is the halacha of Mikra Megillah. Now we'll move on to the next halacha, which is Matanas Lav Yoinim. The Chaber writes, Chayiv Kol Adam, every person has to give Lepachas at least Shtei Matanais Shnei Aniyim, which means you have to give one mana to two Aniyim, right? There's two halachas. Shalach Manais Ishlari Eyu. There you're giving two manais, two portions to one person. Matanas Lav Yoinim is you're giving Matanais Le'ev Yoinim, which means one matana to one Evyon and another matana to another Evyon. So you're giving two matanas, but it's given to two Evyonim, and therefore it's one matana for each Evyon. Zakta Ran, why when it comes to Mishalach Manas do we send two to one person? And when it comes to Matanas Lav Yoinim, do we send one to one person? Zakta Ran, very simple cheshbon. When you're sending Mishalach Manas, you're sending to wealthy people. You're sending to people that have means. So they're not going to be impressed if you send them one portion. If you send them a double portion of food, that'll actually make them happy. Mashenka, when it comes to Matanas Lav Yoinim, you're sending the person who's poor. He's very happy. You give him one portion of food, you're ready to be Misamechim, and therefore you don't need to give him double portion. One single portion of food, you're ready to be Misamechim, and that's why the Ran writes. The Bach writes a very interesting sfar. The Bach writes, it's interesting to know where this comes from, this double by both, by Matanas Lav Yoinim and Mishalach Manas. The Bach writes that there are two nisim that took place in the story of Purim, and it's a zecha for these two nisim. What were the two nisim? First of all, the nes was the fact that we got saved, the fact that we didn't get killed out. The second nes was the fact that Mordechai HaTzadik rose up in power, that the bias of Haman was given over to Mordechai that Klal Yisrael's prominence rose because of Esther, because of Mordechai Tzadik. We rose in power. So there's two things that take place. First of all, we got saved. Okay, that's one part. In fact, they weren't killed. But more than that, Mordechai Tzadik rose up to the place where Haman was. Klal Yisrael rose up in Achashverosh's eyes. Eventually, Binyan Beis HaMikdash came out of the story from Dagavesh. And therefore, there's two Nisim that take place. I want to be masker these two Nisim. And therefore, we have Shnei Matanais. To either Shtei Matanais, when you're giving Mashalach Manas, you have Mashalach Manas, double, Ishtari Eyu. When you have Matanas Ivanim, you're also giving two Matanais in order to be Mask, in order to remember these two Nisim, you're giving double. Zakta Bach, why do you give when it comes to an Evian, when it comes to a poor person, why do you give one and one? And when it comes to Mashalach Manas, why do you give two to one? Zakta Bach, a different Svara than one, a very simple Svara. He says, friends, love that you can have more than one friend. Friend, we only know that you're going to be able to have, possibly only going to have Kanei L'Chachavar, the Mishnah says Kanei L'Chachavar, not Chaverim. So he says, possible that you can have one good friend that you'll be able to give Mashalach Manas to. So that's why you're going to give two, you want to remember, you have these two Manas, because the two Manas is Zecher to these two Nisim, you give two Manas to one friend, because we don't know that any kid's going to have more than one friend. Mashalenke, when it comes to giving to poor people, we know that the Rambam Paskins, that a person has $100, and he has an option of giving a $100 bill to one Ani, or 100 singles to 100 Aniyim, the Rambam Paskins, that it's better to give 100 to 100 100 singles to 100 aniyim, because that way a person first of all becomes more murgal in giving a tzedakah, and that way he's also machai 100 people. Zak de Bach, same thing when it comes to matanas lavyanim. You want to remember the two nisim, but all I need to do is give one mana to one ani and one mana to another ani. And that is the halacha. The Mishabur does speak out. It's very important to know. Mishabur speaks out in the name of the Rambam that this is the din. This is the halacha. That all you need to give is one mana to two aniyim. Zak to Mishabur zeu medina avol ba'emes mutav laharbis matanas la'avyonim laharbis besuda or b'shalach manas la'reiyu. If you're spending money and you have an option to spend money on fancy shalach manas, a fancy suda, or matanas la'avyonim, zak to Rambam the Mishabur and the Mishabura, definitely a person's main money that should be spent on Purim is not on shalach manas and not on the suda. The main money should be spent on matanas la'avyonim. Zak to Mishabura why? B'shem the Rambam she'ein simcha gedolu mafura. What's the greatest simcha that you can have? Is a sameach leiv aniyim yisaimen la'amanis v'daim la'shchina shemar la'haches ruach shvelim la'olaheshev leiv nitkam. To be able to be daim to the shchina, that's the greatest simcha you can have. The greatest simcha is not a fancy shalach manas, not a fancy suda. The greatest simcha that a yid can have, zok the Rambam, is to be mesameach other people. And the best way to do that is to be mesameach the people that are most downtrodden. It's to be similar to the Rabbanu Shem, to be a bal chesed. And mimela, if you have an option where to spend your money, definitely the large percentage of money that's spent on Purim should be going for matanas levyanim. Even though again, you could be yotzei chiv with a small amount of money, but that's where the large amount of money should be going for matanas avyanim. Now, when it comes to matanas avyanim, are women chayiv in matanas avyanim and are children chayiv? So the Ramah brings down that women are chayiv matanas avyanim. The Magen Avraham brings down that he says, I have never seen women be nizer in matanas avyanim. And he says, perhaps the reason why women are not nizer is because of what the Ramah means, is that the Ramah is referring to a woman who's either an almana or a woman who never... or a woman who hasn't been married yet, but has her own money. In that case, she's mechuyev to give matanas avyanim. But, zakta magen Avram, when a woman is married, so then she's meshubet to her husband, all of her chiyuvim are, all of her money is really owned by her husband, and therefore her husband can give for her, and lachari, even the paiskim speak out that all the husband has to give is one, the amount that he's giving for himself covers both him and his wife. That's the way the magen Avram speaks out. The Aruch Shulchan says also, ish v'ishtoy, shneim yoytzim bebeiz manas. The ain't tzarich beiz manas achal echad. If ish ve'isha, husband and a wife, let's say again, we'll talk about the amount of money in a minute. Let's say the amount of money is $10 total for two aniyim. So all that you have to give is $10, and that would cover both you and your wife. There are those that have a minig to nevertheless give independently for their wives as well. But Lemaisa, the Magen Avraham says that he hasn't seen people in Menizer, and definitely for a married woman, there's much more of a reason to be mekel to assume that they're covered along with their husband, and they don't have to give an independent chiv. When it comes to children, so even children that are semech ha'shulchan aviv, for sure once they become a gadol, that assuming that they have their own money, which I imagine every child got money by his bar mitzvah, and that money is his own money. He's mechuyev matanas avyanim. It's important to tell your children that for sure once they reach the age of bar mitzvah, again, there's a shaila whether you have to mechanech them before bar mitzvah. For sure once they become a gadol and they have their own money, which I imagine every 13-year-old boy has his own money, he should be giving matanas avyanim. And best is if he takes from his own money. If you want to really be mechanech him, not al tzedin of chinuch, but al being mechanech him properly, the best thing is tell him take out your bar mitzvah account, take out a few dollars, not from miser, as we said it can't be taken from miser. Take out a few dollars and give matanas avyanim. Let him give it. Let him bring it to the rav. He'll feel good about it that he's giving. It's an important thing to know because again, it's a chiv, it's an obligation. The same way they have to hear Mikra Megillah, they have to hear Matanas Levyonim as well. There is a discussion in the Paiskim when the Pasuk says Matanas Levyonim, whether that means specifically an Evyon or an Ani as well. There's two levels of being poor in Chazal. One's called an Ani and one's called an Evyon. An Evyon is much, much more poor on a much higher level of being poor than an Ani. And there are those that are Makbid And the Makar HaChaim writes like this, they have to dafka find an Evyan and not an Ani. However, most Paiskim speak out, or Chashokhan speaks this out clearly, you can give either to an Ani or an Evyan. It doesn't have to be somebody who's so poor that he's an Evyan. It could be an Ani as well. Zakta or Chashokhan, so what does the Pasuk say? Matana Sav Yoinim. If it means Matana Lan Ani, so why is it called Matana Sav Yoinim? Zakta or Chashokhan, it's coming to Rabusa. It's coming to tell you a bigger Chiddush, that an Evyan, somebody who's so poor, he's not embarrassed the whole year around to knock on people's doors to get money. But the guy who's embarrassed the whole year to go around to ask for money, he's the main person that you should be focusing on during Purim. The chiddush is that even the guy who is collecting anyways for himself, who's not embarrassed to collect for himself, even him you should be taking care of. But the ani for sure you have to be taking care of. He's the guy who's too embarrassed to go around shul, to go around the go around place to place to collect. For sure you have to give them as well. And that's the pashtus, is that we assume either an ani or an evyan. It doesn't have to have, people like to say, I'm a mahodadika evyan. I'm almost like an aleph evyan. You can give to me, you can mekayim mitzvah kedikunai. Pashtus, according to most places, came an ani as well. Would be enough, even though it just says Matanis Lev Yoinim, Pashas and Ani would be enough as well. Now, how much do you have to give? It's always a shell. Everybody comes to the Rav and they say, how much money do you have to give? $100, $50, $20, what exactly do you have to give? The Mishabur writes the following. Mishabur writes, you have to give either money or food. It could be either one. Veloy Mitzasa, Zakta Mishabura, Kama Ke'es, I haven't found yet. Zakta Mishabur, Kama Yashir Matanis, he's quoted in the Prima Gadim. I haven't found yet exactly how much to give. But Chedush Ritva, the Ritva says, Afilu Shtei Prutis. As long as you give a shava pruta, that's considered to be a matana, and you don't. As long as you give a shava pruta, which means two shava prutas, you would already be yotze. You are chiv. The Shari Tshuva says that that's not the chiv. The chiv has to be similar to mashalach manas, which we'll discuss in a second. It has to be something which is considered to be something that would be enough, and that we'd be able to buy a shir suda. That's the way the Shari Tshuva brings down. And therefore, there are some that say b'shem or b'yishah that a person, it should be enough money that an ani would be able to buy a Danish and a soda. That's the lashon I think they use from a Moshe and a Maseres Moshe. A Danish and a soda is already considered to be, although we'll talk about it in the suda, there could be like a tchila person should be washing on pas, but that would already be considered to be enough of a suda. Again, it doesn't have to be the suda of sudas, the suda of the suda's Purim, but it should be enough for him to buy a suda. Rabbi Yashiv says that it has to be something that would make an ani happy. Rabbi Yashiv said in his times, I guess a few years ago, he said 50 shekel would be enough. I think that's the way we went when I was living in Eretz Yisrael with Rabbi Yashiv's psak. We tried to get 50 shekel on ani, which meant 100 shekel total. But the other place can say, I saw Rabbi Shlomo Miller and this new sefer that came out, they said a dollar would be enough. At some point, it's some amount of money, definitely more than a shava pruta. And pashas, if you want to be yotze l'chaladeis, and especially like we said, this is the ikker place you should be spending your money on, you should definitely give enough money that a person would be able to buy a chashav suda. Those that learn that it has to be talking, the money that you're giving is in order that he should have a suda, and therefore it should be the type of suda that shalach hatchila be eaten for Purim, which we'll speak about in a minute, means pas with basar and yayin. So it should be something that he'd be able to buy all three of those things, which also would probably be about $10. You can probably go to Evergreen or Aisle 9, you can probably pick up a piece of, a loaf of bread, or a sandwich, what's it called, a baguette, and some deli, and a bottle of grape juice or wine, and probably under $10, you can probably buy the whole thing. So I imagine if you gave $10, for sure, $20. $20 is more than enough. Again, if you want to make them happy, I think $20 would make the average undie happy. I think even when you give out, in shul, and they come around collecting, I think if you give $10, already considered to be something that would make them happy. For sure, $20, I think would make them happy. And that's the amount that one would have to give. The Paiskim do discuss whether they can give a check. I don't think it's sonegah. I don't think most people give checks anymore. But the Paiskim do discuss whether they give a check, because that's something that doesn't have actual intrinsic value right now in Purim. So you're giving him a check. Let's say the bank's closed on Purim, right? They say Purim's on a Sunday. So the bank's closed. He has no way to cash out the check. Nevertheless, the Paiskim say, since he can take that check, especially in Lakewood, he can take that check to any grocery store, and the check, swaps hands 40, 50 times before it actually makes it to the bank. Therefore, the Paiskim say that has real value, and he can use it to get a suda. And therefore, the Paiskim say that a check would work as well. As we said, it can't be given from Meiser money, and that is the basic halachas of Matanas Avyonim. There is another halacha which is not connected to Matanas Avyonim, but it's also a halacha which is connected to Tzedakah, which is brought down to the Mechaber. The Mechaber brings down Sef Gimel over there, called a Poisha Yad Neisamai, that on Purim, we're not makbid on who the person is that's asking. We give to everybody. Anybody that asks, we give. The Mechaber even brings down that there was a minig in some places to even give to Goyim, but definitely, but that's not our minig, but definitely to give to Yidin. Called a Poisha Yad Neisamai means that anybody that asks, you should give. And that's a halacha brought in Shulchan Aruch. However, the place to speak out, that's only somebody collecting for himself. So if somebody comes and tells you he's collecting for his yeshiva or his shul or some meisit, some organization, he tells you there's a chiv of kol poishi ad nisan line, it's not MS. The halach of kol poishi ad nisan line means when he's collecting for himself. You want everybody to be happy. So if he's collecting for himself and you give him money without starting to question him about, where's his yeshur and where he gets the money, that does not fall into halach of kol poishi ad nisan line. Again, there's regular halach of tzedakah, which is another sigya for another time. Maybe the guy has a regular chiv of tzedakah, but this halacha, huh?
This guy's getting commission on his collection.
I don't know. If he's an if he's somebody that wouldn't be, it has to be something that the point is called poishi on Islam means we want everybody to be happy. We don't want that when a guy comes into shul, you start asking, where's he sure? Where's your paper? How do we know? We don't trust you. We think you're too young. We just want that everybody should be happy. So if you take money out of your pocket and right away give it to people, people feel good about that. So again, if a guy's collecting for Moshe, then he's collecting for something independent. He still probably will feel good if you give him money. The Baiskim said this halacha of kol Moshe on Islam like only applies to Ani. So let's finish up the last two halachas, which are going to be Mishalach Manas and the Suda. Now, when it comes to Mishalach Manas, the Mechaber Paskins, that a person has to give, as we said, he has to give two manas, two portions to one person. As the Pasuk says, Mishalach Manas, Ish Re'eu, Shnei Manas, Le'ish Echad, two portions to one person. Zak the Mechaber, Kala Marbe, Le'shleich Le'Re'eim, Meshubach. So if your wife wants to make many Shalach Manas, she can tell you that this is Mefurish in the Mechaber, Kala Marbe. Same way we have a din of Kala Marbe, L'Sapa, Reza Meshubach, and the men talk a lot on Pesach Nai. The women now have the ability to say Kala Marbe in Shalach Manas, Reza Meshubach, and Reza Meshubach, the Pesach can learn, means that it's not Meshubach, doesn't just mean it's a nice thing, it means that the actual kim of the mitzvah of Mishalach Manas, every Mishalach Manas that you send would be another chiv. So again, if you stand and you just give out one, that's one zach, but if you can give out more, that would be something which is good, and it's going to be marba raised. Now, the Paiskim do discuss exactly what the purpose in the mitzvah of Mishalach Manas is. The famous machlek is the Manas Levi, who's Yerushalam Alkavitz, the one who's the machaber of Lechadayid, who's Beren Tzfas, Mamash right next to Arizal. The Manas Levi, in his Pirush on Megillah, says that the reason is in order to be marba raised, you want to be able to create friendship, to be marba raised, the more you're giving out to other people, that's marba raised. The Trumas Hadeshin writes that that's not the reason. The reason is you want to make sure everybody has what they need for the Suda. Everybody has everything that they need, and therefore you don't know exactly who's really an ani and who's not an ani. Therefore, we just send out to everybody. Everybody should be getting some sort of food from somebody else, either as an ani, alts matonis lev yoinim, or she should be getting alts mishalach manas, and everybody's getting, and that ensures that everybody, when it comes to the perm suda, everybody has. Now, there are a lot of nafkaminas. For example, do you have to send something that's meant for a suda? If you send candy, that lachar is not meant for a suda. So according to manas levi, yoitze, because you marbereis, you're making the guy like you more, and you're creating more friendship, and that's marbereis. However, according to the Trumas Hadeshin, l'chatchili, you should send something that could be used for the actual suda, and not something which is just something sweet. And again, that's where the minute comes from. Some people makbet to try to send something that's not used for the suda. It's I imagine in most scenarios, it's anyways not used for the suda. That's why some people feel like it's a waste. It's just going to go out to the garbage. And avada, you're better off sending something that's going to last till after Purim. Yeah, again, you can discuss this with your wife to figure out exactly what I'm sure it's been discussed already and made already to discuss exactly what the best thing is. But that's halacha. There's another interesting machlokes between the Bach brings down and Pelleyaitz brings down as well, whether the main person you should be sending to is your best friend, like we said from the Bach earlier, or the main person you should be sending to is your greatest enemy. So if you learn the dinis, the marbereis, so some say to be marbereis to the people that you're already friends with, it just helps continue the friendship. Others say, the Pelleyaitz says, faker, find the guy that you hate the most. Find the guy that you don't get along with at all, and dafka send to that guy, because the whole Indian is Lech Chanais, is Kol Yehudim. The whole Indian is bringing together all of Klal Yisrael. Dafka send him. Don't write on it that you're sending him because I hate you the most. Then obviously it's not going to be marbereis. Okay, send it to him in a real way. And he might actually be the ability to be able to create, to be able to bring back the friendship. And it's happened very, very often. Sai with Shalach Manas, and some people get shikar in Purim, that a lot of friendships that were broken the whole year can be mended on Purim. Because people are shikar, a lot of the inhibitions that get in the way, and those things that get in the way throughout the year, you're able to fall apart. A person gets Shalach Manas from somebody else, he feels good about it. It's a day when it's much easier to be able to mend friendships than throughout the year. Throughout the year, it's very hard to do. You can try Erev Shana, Erev Kippur, but it's... that's just a formality that you're calling the guy and asking Michil. When you do it on Purim, it's a way that you can really do it, and it's not so awkward, it's not so uncomfortable. And again, according to the Pelleyaitz, it says the Iker Din. And Mishalach Manas says, Dafka find somebody that you don't get along with, and Dafka send them. So again, you should be Yaitz both, and you should be Yaitz both by sending somebody that you like, your best friend, and Dafka to send to somebody who you don't like, and that way Yaitz both these halachas of Shalach Manas. What about women and children? Are they mechuyev to give Shalach Manas? So women are also mechuyev in Shalach Manas. The Magen Avraham says the same thing that he says by Matanas Lev Yoinim. He says, I haven't seen people be nizer. And again, he says the same reason, that if a woman has a husband, so then she's going to be nichla on her husband. But if a single woman or an amana should definitely be makbid to give Shalach Manas. A child who's semech al-shulchan aviv, but has his own money, which means any child who's over 13, even if he's semech al-shulchan aviv, but he has his own money, also has a chiv of Shalach Manas, since born again, to make sure that the mitzvah bachrim, those they know that they have their own chiv to give Shalach Manas, and they should give Shalach Manas. There's an interesting halacha, interesting discussion in the Paiskim, whether the Shalach Manas should be given dafka with a shleach. Why should it be given dafka with a shleach? Because the lashon is mishloach manas. Shleach manas sounds like you're sending manas. It sounds like you're sending it through a third party. Aside from that, it also is considered to be something more chashev. we're not just handing the guy something. There's a messenger that's bringing it. It's considered to be more chashev. Mishwar Taka brings down from the Binyan Siyan that there is an Indian dafka to give it through a shliach. However, the poskim, many poskim say they're not makbet to do that, but a lot of people have the minig. You're giving it out anyways. 5, 10 shalach manas, give at least one of them through the medium of a shliach, and that way you yotze this din of the Binyan Siyan. Now, the main shiloh we have to discuss is exactly what you're giving when you're giving mishalach manas. So we said mondays. He said it has to be two portions. Two portions of what? So the most common misconception is that it has to be two brachas, and that obviously is not true. There's no makar for that bechlal. There's no makar anywhere in any of the places going to say anything about two brachas. You're not going to find any makar for that. There's no makar for two brachas. However, it does say shtei manais. It does say two manais. And the biggest riot that's a misconception is the Mechaber himself, when he gives an example, says two types of meat. Right, two portions of meat. So obviously meat is both a shakal, and obviously that's going to be 100% fine. That's not a problem. But the question is, what is considered to be two portions, what is considered to be two separate things? The Orach HaShulchan writes that even though the Mechaber writes two portions of meat, avadi, he doesn't mean two pieces of corned beef, two portions of corned beef, because that would l'chaira not be shnei manis. That's not considered to be two independent portions. Rather, he means that it has to be something which is two different types of food or two different types of drink. And that's probably where the misconception came from, is that because it's complicated to figure out what's considered to be a different type and not a different type, so people just said, if you have two separate rachas, then we know for sure it's two different types. But again, the Orach HaShulchan writes that all they need to be is two different types of food, or a food and a drink, or a drink and a food. All it needs to be is two different types. It doesn't need to be, it can't be two portions. However, the Mechaber writes two types of basar. He must mean two different types of basar. You have a steak and you have a hamburger or something like that. Something which is served independently. It's two separate dishes. That's what the Mechaber writes. He says, could be the Mechaber's a Tay Sefer, could be its mistake. But that's where the Mechaber learns. Those that learn the Taka, all you need is two portions. Tzitz Eliezer learns like this, that if you have two pieces of corned beef, at each portion of corned beef could be served as an independent dish, which means it could be served on a plate by itself. That would be yitz. However, that's not the minig. The minig is we go with our chashulchan, and we assume that it needs to be something which is two separate minim. Now, exactly how you define two minim becomes very complicating, which means are two types of meat considered two minim, or they're not two minim. So Mazama learns that the halachas are based on the halachas of Beirer, and anything that would be considered to be two minim, regardless of the halachas of Beirer, which we're not going to go into right now, would be considered to be two minim for this. Shmuel Kamenetsky argues, he says it's not the gether, rather he gives a very, very simple gether, and I think this is the easiest gether to be able to figure out. Is it something that would be served independently by your suda? Which means if you serve, for example, the top of a chicken and the bottom of a chicken, those are served on one plate. You don't put them on separate plates, the top and the bottom of a chicken. And therefore, most places can learn that that would be considered to be one mana if you give a top and the bottom of a chicken. However, if it would be something which would be served independently, for example, you have different cuts of meat, you have different types of meat, they're all coming from the same animal, right? They're all coming from a cow, but different types of meat that you have. You have a rib steak and you have a... The skirt steak. I don't know if they come from different parts. Something like that. Something that would be, or if you have, let's say, even a cooked meat. For example, you have a roast and you have something which is a grilled meat. That would be considered to be two minim according to many paiskim. And those are considered to be two portions because they're served as independent portions and therefore they're considered to be two separate things. What about if you send, somebody asked me today, send crackers with hummus, or you send something with a dip. Is a dip considered to be a separate min or not? So there is a big discussion in the paiskim whether a tavlon, whether something which is made to add taste, to enhance the taste of the food, whether that's considered to be a separate min. Most poskim assume that a tavlon is not considered to be a separate min, which means if you send a hot dog with a ketchup packet, that is not considered to be a separate min, the ketchup packet. Why? Because ketchup is not eaten as an independent thing. It's eaten only as a way to enhance the food. However, many poskim say that anything that could be eaten by itself, for example, jam, jelly, hummus, peanut butter, those are things which could be eaten by themselves. Some poskim even say a spoonful of sugar, right? Would the people eat that? Not just from Mary Poppins, people eat a spoonful of sugar, right? There's people that would be eaten independently. But definitely something like peanut butter, hummus. Those are things which could be eaten independently. It's not ketchup. If you saw somebody taking a spoonful of ketchup and eating it, there's something odd about the person. Hummus, it's not so odd. People like hummus. People eat it that way. Again, it's so typical. A baby sometimes eats hummus. It's a very healthy thing for kids to eat. Sometimes eats hummus. It's something which is, healthy. Peanut butter also. It's not so odd to see somebody eating a spoonful of peanut butter. It's not odd. It could be in by itself. Jam, jelly, those are things. And therefore, many places can learn that those are considered to be two minims. If you send, crackers and hummus, or challah and jelly, or challah and dip. Someone told me he's also sending challah and a dip. Right, so that would also be considered to be two separate minim, and a person would be Yaitzah Mashainkin. If you send, let's say, ketchup or something like that, something which doesn't have, nobody eats it independently, that's considered to be one min. What about if you send a salad? He said the deli salad. So now you have a lot of minim, but they're mixed together as one thing, which is now called the deli salad. According to most paiskim, it's only considered to be one min, and you are not yetzah. Similarly, if you send a sandwich, if you send a meat sandwich, even though it has bread and meat and pickles and ketchup and has a, and lettuce and tomatoes, has a lot of things in it, since it's made already constructed as a sandwich, that's considered to be one min. However, if you send a deconstructed salad or deconstructed sandwich, which means you send the parts and the person puts it together themselves, that would be considered to be two minim, and then a person would be yaitza. How big does the portion that you're sending have to be? Which means we spoke about what's two separate portions. Can I send a tiny piece of beef jerky? Is that considered to be a mana, a portion? So the Aruch HaShulchan writes very clearly, it's not tali in the regular halachas of shiurim, of a kezayis or kabetza. What's a tali in? Something, what he calls, it's a term from Yeridea, chaticha ruy l'schabed, which means it's something which has chashivas, something which could be served, something which is so small that you never serve it by itself. It's not something which you would ever give to somebody. It says that's not considered to be a portion. And that's what most places can assume, that has to be something which has some chashivas. However, if you have, for example, beef jerky, which each piece of beef jerky by itself is not chashiv, but you have, let's say, a whole bag of it, so then obviously that's considered to be, the whole bag would be considered to be one portion, and a person would be yoytze shalach manas. The Mishabur brings down a bir halacha, an interesting halacha as well, that the chashivas of the portion goes based on the person that's receiving it. Which means if you're sending something to a wealthy person, and it's something which may be chashiv to a child, but it's not chashiv to a wealthy person. So you have a child's shalach manas, but it's not considered to be chashiv to the wealthy person. The bir halacha brings down, from the Chaya Adam, that l'chayra, you would not be yaitze. He says that we don't paskin mamish like the Chaya Adam. And therefore, even if a person makes something which is a cute shalach manas, which maybe doesn't have chashivos, they would still be yaitza. However, he writes, a person should be zor to send something that actually has real chashivos. That's the way the Mishabur paskins. Now, what about if I send something which is raw? Can I send something which has not yet been cooked or baked? Or I want to send a coffee pack or something like that, which may be a din of tavlin, but I want to send something which is not fully cooked or baked. Can I be yaitza shalach manas with that? That is the discussion amongst the paiskim. Whether if I send a live animal, all the paiskim assume that a live animal on vade not yaitza. However, if I send a shechten animal which has not been cooked, which means it's not fully constructed, it's not fully ready to be consumed, that is the machlokes between the Maril, the Prima Gadim, and the Prichadash, whether a person would be yaitze with something which is not fully prepared. The Mishabur writes that he says that one should send something which is ready to be eaten in its current state. He writes, Yesh Eimim, that as long as it's shechted already and a person could cook it, a person could be yaitze. Lamaisa, the one lechatchila should be sending something which is already ready to be eaten in its current state, because a person wants to be able to enjoy the food right now. Magen Avraham brings down that when it comes to food, it's lav dafka food. Drinks as well would be included in that which can be sent as two manas, the two portions of Mishalach Manas. However, the Paisim speak out that any drink which is not considered to be a chashav a drink, for example, water or seltzer, would not be considered to be something which is chashav, and a person would not be yetzah. The Paisim do speak out. There are Paisim who say that flavored seltzer, very possibly to be yetzah. I heard from Shmuel first in Chicago. I heard him say this year, he wanted to even say that like fancy waters, mineral waters and things like that, it would be yetzah. The Paisim are not so happy with that. They assume that even mineral waters and fancy waters, he said it's a multi-billion-dollar business, waters and seltzers nowadays, that's taking over the Coca-Cola market and all the, you know, soft drink market. So he said that it would have chashivas. Flavored seltzer, I think, is much more of a reason to be makel on. It's already considered to have some chashivas in it. They also make two types of flavored seltzer. One has just like an essence, and one has actual fruit in it. The one that has fruit in it, for sure, is considered to be something that's chashiv. They have like drops of fruit in it. Those are for sure considered to be more chashiv. But even I think the regular one, again, this makom to be makel. A person should try to make sure they're sending two real medium, two things that are going to be chashiv. Now, let's just finish up with the last halacha. Which is the halacha of a suda. The Ramah brings down the mitzvah harvest besuda this Purim. A person should eat a suda in Purim. And with one suda, all a person needs to eat is one suda in order to be yaitze. The chiv of suda on suda mishta v'simcha, which Kalais was makabel as the ikar zach, they weren't makabel yontav, they were called mishta v'simcha, a person has to do it. The Ramah does bring down, people don't know this halacha, but it's in the first Ramah, that it's toiv that a person should be Isaac a little bit in Torah right before they begin the suda. This means even if you learned in the morning after Shachris, and you're starting a suda at 4 or 5 o'clock in the afternoon, you should sit down and learn even for 5 minutes before. Why? Zakta Ramah, because it says, La Yehuda Maisa Eira v'simcha, Eira zu Torah, simcha is the yontav that we're making. Therefore, Eira is Torah and simcha is the yontav. Therefore, since these two things come together in the pasuk, Zakhtar Amal, a person should learn a little bit prior to starting the suda. Now, when exactly should he make the suda? Should it be in the morning, afternoon? Should it be late evening? Zakhtar Amal, the noigam lasa suda, achar mincha. The minig is to do it after mincha. And my review, ready, Davin, once you sober up at night. You daven mincha while the day while you still have time, and then you do it, and you have to make sure, Zakta Rama, that most of the suda should be taking place while it's still day. He says, v'loy kamay shenayigin, that people started so close to the night, it should be while it's still day. Now, the reason why we don't do the suda right away in the morning, and it's one of the mitzvahs hayayim, everything else we try to do immediately, why don't we do the suda? So some say, just because of the fact that we're involved in all the other mitzvahs hayayim, we don't have time to be able to eat the suda in the morning. We're so busy with Matanas Avyoinim, Mashalach Manas, and running around Mikra Megillah. We're so busy doing everything else, we don't have time. However, the Shlah brings down, Mishabur brings down Mashem the Shlah, that Ataka is the best thing to do would be to make the suda in the morning. And he says, first of all, the reason is that way you're not going to end up being Mavatal Ma'iriv, because if you make it later in the afternoon, probably going to be shikr and fall asleep before remembering Ma'iriv, and you're going to end up davening early. If you make the suda early in the day, so by the time Mincha comes along, for Shkia, you already have sobered up, you already be in the state to be able to daven Minchat Ma'ariv. He brings on also the Pashas, the Suda that took place between Esther and Achashverosh, which is what part of the Zecher of the Suda is, took place by in the morning when the times the Malachim used to eat, not at night the way we think, and therefore the Shlah says the best time to do it is in the morning. And the Kaf HaChaim also brings down Alpi Kabbalah, that there is an Indian Dafka to do the Suda in the morning. That's where the Minhag comes from. Many people have the Minhag that they do two Sudas. They do one in the morning, and they do one later in the day. Why do they do one in the morning to be Yates? Is that's the Shlah, which is born in the Meshabura, and this Indian Alpi Kabbalah to have a Suda in the morning. And then they have the regular Suda they have later in the day when the Ketaka gets shikr, and the Ketaka spend the time enjoying the Suda properly. Now, what do I need to serve with the Suda? Could it be a Milchik Suda? Can it be a Fleishik Suda? Do I have to wash? Do I not have to wash? So the Rambam writes, Ketzachai v'suda zu, sheyechel basar, v'sakin suda na. He says that you should eat meat specifically, and it should be a chash of a suda, kafiyash atem tziyadai, as much as a person has the ability to be able to afford. Now, regarding whether a person needs to wash by the Suda of Purim is a machlokes in the Paiskim. Machlokes between the Magen Avraham says that you do not have a chiyuv. The Mashal Mata Moshe and others say, assume that you do have a chiyuv. And the Aruch HaShulchan writes, there are those that are mistapik. He brings down this machlokes. And he says, Avada, a person needs to eat, needs to wash in order to be Yotze his Suda. And he says, the Ein Mishta, the Lashon that we have, when we talk about the Mishta of Purim, is called Mishta. The Makabla is Mishta Vesimcha. Mishta always refers to washing. As the Pasuk says, by light, by Yas Lahem Mishta, Umatzes Afa. Light baked matzahs, and he was making a mishta. So obviously, you see that mishta always comes along with bread. Never the Aruch HaShulchan says avada, a person has to wash and eat bread, and that's the lachatchila thing to do is to wash and to eat. And lachatchila, it should be a fleishig a suda. Now, the gabi the chiyuv of chayv enish l'besumei b'pray, which I'm not going to discuss. The Paiskim discuss whether you should get drunk or not get drunk. Lagabe, when you should get drunk, there is a discussion in the Paiskim whether the Iker time is dafka during the Suda or the Iker time is unrelated to the Suda. The Lashon of the Rambam makes it sound very, very clear that the Iker time to get drunk is during the Suda, because the Rambam writes, Ketzachev Suda Zu, like I just said, Shiechel Basav Yisakan Suda Kafiyash, no, Kafiyash is Imtsu Yadai. And then he says the next line, Vashoise Yayin Achi Ishtakar. And then drink wine until you get shikr. Mashma, that part of the Suda is the drinking of the wine. And therefore, there are some that say that the Lechat Chila, the best time, the Iker time, in order to be Yetze, your halacha of when you're going to drink and get drunk or fall asleep is going to be dafka during the Suda. However, the Chaya Adam is mashma, not like that, because the Chaya Adam says that he's talking about a person being careful not to get drunk if you know they're going to end up being mevatel mitzvahs. And he gives, what's the example of the mitzvahs that he gives? They're going to end up being mevatel. They may not end up washing for your Suda. You may not end up making the bracha of Amaytze Berchaz HaMazim properly. Clearly, he's learning that you're ready to be yaitzi your din of drinking even before the Suda. That's what the Chaya Adam seems to do. And therefore, the Baiskim seem to say, the sort of Shmuel Paskins like this in Kavis Halachas, that you can be yaitzi your chiv of getting shikr even prior to the Suda. However, practically, the best time to do it is when you're sitting by Suda, which again is more of a shkafik discussion, how and when and what and what's the best way to do it. But definitely halachically pashid v'yotze, even if you did it prior to eating the Suda. Now, what do I need to use in order to get drunk? Can I get drunk over tequila? Can I get drunk over bourbon? Do I have to drink dafka wine? So if you look at the Lashon of Rashi Megillah, when Rashi says chayv enish lebesume, it's a very odd word, lebesume, zak Rashi leshtaker b'yayin. Rashi says dafka yayin. And the Bir Halacha also seems to say that the reason why we have this inyan of shichrus, of getting drunk, is a zecher to the fact that the mishta took place by the Suda Sachashverosh and the Suda that Esther had together with Haman. And those Sudas, the Lashon he uses is b'shtiyas hayayin, k'deshi nisker ha'nesa gadol b'shtiyas hayayin. The Suda that took place, the mishta took place, l'chera had wine. That's the typical way they used to have it. And therefore, the Bir Halacha is also mashma that a person should be doing dafka wine. However, the Torah, the Mechaber, none of them say anything about wine. All they say is chayiv enish l'besume. Besume is lav dafka wine. Those that learn that Rashi's love dafka, And therefore, there are those that learn that a person can get drunk on anything. It doesn't specifically have to be wine. And that's the Mechassalah's a fasting like that. Also, it doesn't have to be specifically wine. I remember when I was in Philly, I was never there for Purim. I left before I was able to be there. But Rebelli used to drink vodka, not wine. I used to drink a cup of vodka, say something was two or three cups straight of vodka, and drink wine. That was what he was able to do. Another interesting halacha, and I'll end with this, Ksav Sefer writes that a person eats a Suda's Purim and a person throws up. When he gets drunk, Zakta Ksav Sefer, a person is mechuyev to eat the Suda's Purim again. You ate it and you threw up, you were not Yitzchiv. You'd have to eat the Suda again, which means you have to wash. Or again, love that if you have to wash again, if you still have the Suda, you have to have pass and you should have Basar again. Important thing to know.
Like 10 o'clock at night?
No, so if you already finished the Purim, then you'd be fine. It's not going to help to eat it then. Yeah, but if at some point in the Purim you ate it and you did it, that would be do it. And the last halakha we'll just mention is a Suda to eat at night. Is there an Indian to have a Suda at night or not an Indian to have a Suda at night? So the Machaber Paskin is that a Suda that a person does at night, you're not Yotze de Chavasa, which means you can't be Yotze your regular Suda Purim and making a Suda at night. However, the first night. However, the Ramah writes, Makamakam Gambalai Le Yismach. Even at night, a person should be yirba v'yasmech tzas besuda with yayin l'chera and with basar and with washing as well. The Paiskim say, and therefore, yeah, therefore this is malka. Anyways, this year, a person would be yotze. Okay.